Well, I'm pulling double duty today. Normally by this time I get to get off the platform, but not today. I'm up here. So, well, hopefully the Lord will speak through me and bring us a message that we need to hear. But let's join together in prayer. Father, I just ask that you bless me now as I bring the message. Help me to bring the word that you have brought to me. Help me to bring a message that will speak to our hearts and will lift us up and help us to learn how to be better followers of you and how to be a better congregation for you, Father. And I just pray that you would bless us as we hear your word. May we take it and apply it to our lives so that we can truly live for you, as the song says, living for Jesus, a life that is true. I thank you for the word that you have brought. I thank you for those that are here to listen. And I just pray that you would be with us and be among us and speak through me. We love you, we praise you, and we lift up your name, for it's in your most awesome name that we pray. Amen. Like many of you, I grew up going to church. My father was a minister of music, and my mother was the director of Sunday school. So when the doors were open, I was in church. Now, this was great when I was younger because I would get to see all my friends, and I would get to hear fun Bible stories, and if the teacher was in a good mood, we'd get cookies or candy. So that was great. But then as I got older, I felt like there were better things to do with my Sunday morning, like sleeping until noon. And so one day I told my parents, I said, I don't think I'm going to go to church with you this morning. Now, I thought that that was a very reasonable request, and I was old enough to make my own decisions. I found out pretty quick that their view of the natural order of things was much different than my view, and their view wins every time. And so I came up with many arguments throughout the years that I thought were very good arguments on why I didn't need to go to church. It was raining. Now, that's a Southern Baptist favorite. We love to stay home when it's raining. I didn't know anyone there. And, of course, that wasn't true. And I had the sniffles. That's a good one. Anytime you start sniffing, hey, that's time to stay home from church. But my personal favorite was I stayed up late Saturday night watching a movie, and I just couldn't wake up in time for church. You can guess how well that one went over. And, of course, nothing I did, nothing I said made any difference. So every Sunday morning, I would get dressed up, hop in the car, and ride with my parents to church with my own personal storm cloud hovering over me the whole time. I see you parents grinning out there. Y'all probably know what my parents went through, and y'all probably can see the bad attitude that I had until I got to church. And once you got to church and opened the car door, everybody was happy and fine. But once when you're in the car, everything was just no fun. And so my question is this: why did my parents make me go to church every Sunday? Was it because they were just mean? Was it because they had a secret plan to ruin all my fun? Why do we gather at church every Sunday and Wednesday? Why do we come together as a congregation to worship every Sunday and every Wednesday? What we need to realize is that the church is still an important part of our lives as believers in Christ. You know, I hear some people say today that the church is evolving, or that the church is changing to fit the times. But that's not the right way to think of it at all. The church should never change. God doesn't change. He's still the same that he always has been, and he's always going to be the same. Jesus doesn't change, and we're supposed to be like Jesus, right? So that means we don't change. Now, we can grow. We can learn more about how to be a better Christian. We can learn how to reach out to the world around us, and we can increase our understanding, but we should never change what the church is to fit what the world thinks it ought to be. And that's why we need to understand that the church is important, and it's very important that we be a part of a Bible-believing church as Christians. We don't need to be like the fellow in this story. There was a pastor of a local congregation who would notice that there was a young man who came to church only two times a year. And you probably know when those two times were. He'd come at Christmas and he'd come at Easter. And those are the only two times he ever darkened the doors of the church. So the pastor saw this fellow do this for many years, and he decided he'd finally say something to the man about it. So one Sunday after the Easter service, he cornered the man and he said, "Young man, I sure would like to see you come be a part of our church more often, to be a more active part of our church. We need you in the army of the Lord. Well, the man replied to the pastor, well, pastor, I am in the army of the Lord. And the pastor said, how can you say you're in the army of the Lord? You only come two times a year, and you never darken the doors of the church any other time. The man leaned over to the pastor, and he said, I'm in the Secret Service. We don't want to be in the Secret Service. We don't want to be the secret Christian that nobody knows is really in the army of the Lord. We need to be a part of a Bible-believing church, an active member of a congregation that believes in what Jesus has called us to be. So today we're going to look at a couple of things. First of all, I want to ask the question, what is the church? Then turn, if you will, to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, verses 16 through 19. I'm going to read a few different verses, but we're going to hover around Matthew and Hebrews. And we're going to talk about, first of all, what is the church? Because so many people have a different notion of what the church is supposed to be. We're going to see what the Bible tells us, what Jesus tells us the church is supposed to be. Reading from Matthew 16, verses 16 through 19. Now understand that Jesus has already asked the disciples, what do people say that I am? And they reply, well, some people think you're a prophet. Some people think you're the reincarnation of Elijah. They think you're this or that. But then he asked the question very pointedly to them. He said, what do you think I am? Who do you believe that I am? And this is what Peter replied. Peter was always ready with a good Sunday school answer, but in this case, he was really telling the truth, and he really believed this. Look at what he says. Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. The first thing we come to realize about the church is that the church was founded by Jesus Christ. He is the foundation upon which we are built. The church is not something built by man. This is just walls, just mortar, just plaster, just panels and lights. This is something built by man, but the church was not built by man. Jesus called it his church. Look at what he said to Peter. He said, on this rock, I will build my church. He didn't say, oh, I'll build your church. He didn't say, I will build Montgomery's church. He didn't say, I will build Highland Avenue Baptist Church. He said, I will build my church. Jesus is telling us in no uncertain terms that he is the builder, the architect, the founder, and the Lord of the church. Nobody else. The Catholics believe that the Pope is God's representative on earth. And they call him Peter in respect and homage to the one they believed was the first head of the church. They call him the Pope, which is a Latin translation of Peter, for being the first head of the church. And they believe that the Pope is the head of the church and that he is God's mouthpiece. And you know, we have this comic version of Peter, St. Peter, standing before the pearly gates. He's got his book open and he's got his little glasses on his nose and he's standing at the gates of heaven and he's letting people in or denying them entrance based on what he has in his little book. Every time I see that comic version, every time I see that little depiction, it makes me sad because it shows me that we have a very poor vision of who Peter was and who God called him to be. Peter does not let anyone into heaven. Jesus lets people into heaven. Peter's not standing at the gates of heaven. No, you're in. No, you're out. You're in. You're out. No. Jesus is the only one that lets people into heaven. Peter is not the head of the church. Peter was never meant to be the head of the church. Jesus didn't say, Peter, you're going to be the head of my church. Jesus is the only head of the church. Not Peter, not the Pope, not Billy Graham, not Charles Stanley, not anybody else, not your local pastor. Nobody else is the head of the church but Jesus Christ himself. Now, I've known a lot of people, ministers, deacons, other people, who thought that they were the head of the church. And they said, this is my church. And I run things the way I want to run them. And that's not the right way to look at it. That's completely wrong. Jesus, that's the first thing we need to realize. What is church? It was founded by Jesus Christ. And he is the head of the church. Nobody else. Nobody else runs the church. The second thing we look at in this verse is that the church is based on faith in Jesus as the Son of God. Look at what he said. Jesus said to him, "You are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church." Now, what was the rock that he was talking about? It's not Peter. Peter's not the rock. What was it that he said was the rock? It's his faith in Jesus, his confession that Jesus is the Son of God, the Christ, the Redeemer. That's what Jesus was called his foundation. He wasn't telling Peter, "You're the foundation." He was telling Peter, "Because you believe in me, because you believe that I'm the Son of God, you, that faith in me is the foundation." That's where we get a lot of things wrong. We think that Peter's the foundation or that somebody else is the foundation. But the foundation of the church is the belief that Jesus is the Son of God and is the Redeemer, the only one who redeems us from our sins. And if you go to a church where anybody believes that somebody else is the foundation of the church, that man built this church with his own two hands, and he's the rock upon which we build this church, you better get out of that church in a hurry, because that's completely unbiblical. That is completely opposite of what Jesus said. What we need to realize is that the church, Jesus is the head, and the foundation stone is belief in Jesus as the Son of God. And the third thing we need to realize is that the church was established on the day of Pentecost. The church came into being on the day of Pentecost. You can see this in Acts chapter 2 if you want to turn there. I'll read it for you though. In Acts chapter 2, listen to what it says. "When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." On that day, when the Holy Spirit came to the disciples and filled them with his power, that was the beginning of the church. That was its establishment. And that's what a church is. The church does not function without the Spirit. We have to be very aware of that. A church cannot function without the Holy Spirit. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you are what is called a dead church. God tells us that in Revelation. He's very clear on that. If you don't have the Spirit empowering your church, you are a dead church. And you are useless to God. You are useless to Jesus because you are not performing his work. Because the only way we can perform his work is to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. So the three things we need to realize. What is a church? The first is that the church is a body of believers in which Jesus Christ is the head. The second is that the foundation of the church is faith in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. If you don't have a church where they call Jesus the Son of God and believe that he is God in the flesh and that he is the only redemption for sin, then you're not going to church. You're going to a social club. And the third thing is that that church must be empowered by the Holy Spirit. For without the Holy Spirit, we are a dead church. That's what a church is. The second thing I want to look at is, what is the purpose of the church? Why are we here? Why do we come together? There's three things that the church has purpose. The first thing is found in Ephesians 5, 19 through 20. If you wish to look there, I'll read it. Ephesians 5, 19 through 20. "But be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for things to God in God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God." Our purpose is to worship God. That's why we were created. God did not create man because he was bored or he was lonely. He created us with the express purpose of giving praise to him, of worshiping Him. That's our first purpose. That's why we come together on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights and we praise Him with music. That's why we sing all these songs. We don't have to sing these songs. We could just go just fellowship with one another and shake everybody's hand and hug everybody's neck, and we could have some food in here, and we could have a regular old party and call it church. But it wouldn't be church. It'd just be a party. Because our first purpose and our major purpose is to worship God. And sometimes I think churches get that out of order. Sometimes I think churches forget that our primary purpose is to gather as a body of Christ to worship the Father. That's our first purpose. And I think sometimes we get caught up in programs. We get caught up in ministries. And we get caught up in things outside the church, which is fine. Those are great things to do. But never forget that the purpose of the church is to worship God the Father. That's why we are called together. That's the first and primary purpose of our church. The second purpose comes from 1 Corinthians 14:26. I'll read that right quick. 1 Corinthians 14:26. How is it then, brethren, whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. Let all things be done for edification. That word edification means building up. That's a fun word that we don't use a lot anymore. But that means building others up. That means encouraging one another. That means giving comfort to one another. And we do that here. We do that pretty well. We comfort one another in times of tragedy, in times of loss, in times of need. I think we're pretty decent. We're pretty good at comforting one another. And I'm very proud of this church for being willing to share and being willing to comfort and to reach out to others. But that's our second purpose, is to disciple and fellowship with fellow believers. Now, everybody needs encouragement. Even those people that say they don't need anybody else, they're fooling themselves. Everybody needs encouragement. We need others to encourage us, to comfort us, to lift us up, to boost our spirit. We need others. We were created for the purpose of being with others. God did not create us to be hermits. God did not create us to live in our own little world and keep our bubble around us and leave me alone, keep me out. You know, I think it might be fun sometimes to be able to go to a place like a monastery and just spend all day stuck in the monastery and doing nothing but hearing the word and singing praises and praying and reading the word. You know, it might be fun, and it might be fun to have that little retreat for a little while, but to live your whole life in a monastery, it seems strange to me. Because you're not reaching out to the world around you. You're not comforting other Christians. I'm stuck in my world. I've got my fellows and my ladies here, whoever might be in our monastery or nunnery, and I don't want anybody else to be a part of this. I've got my little world here, and I want to stay in my little world. But that's not what God called us to be. He didn't call us to be hermits, to be enclosed. He called us to go out. He called us to reach out to others and to be a part of a fellowship. And we learn so much more by being a part of a fellowship. I hear so many people say, I've heard this argument, I know you have too, I can read the Word of God on my own. I don't need a preacher to tell me what to think. I don't need a Sunday school teacher to teach me the Bible. I can read it just fine by myself, and I can understand it, and I can learn it, and I can live it, and I don't need to go to church. Have y'all heard that one? I'm sure you have. The thing that's wrong with that is when you don't go to church, when you aren't part of an active body, then you're not really learning. You're not really growing. You can't. Think about it this way. You got two young men in high school who love playing football. One, he wants to be a wide receiver. He thinks being a wide receiver is the best thing ever. And so he gets online and he reads about what it takes to be a wide receiver in a football team, and he studies the moves and he studies the plays, and he goes out in his backyard and he runs routes and he exercises, and he does really good at learning what it means to be a football player, but he never actually joins a team because, well, I don't like anybody. I don't like to be around other people, so I'm just going to do my footballing right here in the backyard and all by myself. But then you got another young man who loves to play football, and he wants to be a wide receiver too. He goes to high school, and he joins the local team. And he gets coached up. He goes to practice every day. His teammates teach him better how to be a wide receiver, how to be a better football player. They encourage him. They give him guidance. They give him tips. And he goes out and plays in the game, and he learns what it means to be a football player. But who do you think is going to be a better football player? Who do you think is going to be better? The one who stays at home or the one who actually is part of a team and is learning? You got it. The one who's on a team, he learns. And just like that, in our Christian lives, we learn so much better when we're part of a team, when we're part of a body of Christ. Yes, you can read the Bible. And yes, you may even understand the Bible and be able to go online and read some nice little expositions online from famous pastors. But there's nothing like being a part of a body of Christ where you get encouragement, comfort, guidance, tips on how to be a better Christian. That's when you really grow. So why do we go to church? To praise Him and to disciple and fellowship with one another. And that's what we Southern Baptists do really well. We're good at fellowship, and especially if you serve a supper. You know, if you give us some fried chicken and some mashed potatoes, we're all over that fellowshipping. So that's what our second purpose. Our third purpose is to bring people to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and to teach them the Word. Just as in the Great Commission, that's the last thing that Jesus told His disciples before He left this earth. He gave them the Great Commission, and that was His most important statement. He said, go out and do it. Go out and share it. Just like that song we used to sing when we were kids, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. He was telling the disciples to let His light shine. And that's what He tells us today. I want to read you what we have on our mission statement. I know y'all know this one well, but this is our Highland Avenue Baptist mission statement. The mission of Highland Avenue Baptist Church is to be a fellowship of baptized believers living out the great commandment through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's our mission, and that's as plain as day. You can't say it any better than that. That's our third purpose, and it's just as important as the other two, but that's our third purpose, to go out and share the gospel and to teach others how to be Christians, to disciple them, to teach them the Word, to teach them how to grow, to encourage them, to comfort them. That's our purpose. We worship, we fellowship, and then we go out and share. That's the purpose of the church. That's why we gather every Sunday and Wednesday and other days when we come together. Last thing I want to share with you is, why is it important to go to church? And this is what I was always trying to figure out when I was a kid. Why was it important for me to go to church? And we find this in Hebrews 10, 23 through 25. If you want to turn there with me, Hebrews chapter 10, 23 through 25. Listen to what Paul says to the Hebrews. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For He who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Why do we come together? Because Jesus commanded it. He said in no uncertain terms, don't forsake assembling together. Don't give up meeting together. Don't stop getting together with your fellow Christians. He said it as plain as day. And you can't make it any plainer. And that's an absolute truth. So if anybody tells you they don't need to go to church to be a Christian, you show them that verse and you tell them what you just said is a lie. Because I promise you, if you hear the word of Jesus and you stand on the opposite side of what Jesus told us, you're wrong. You can't be any more wrong. So anybody that says, I don't need to go to church because everybody's a hypocrite, well, yeah, we can be hypocrites. Some of us are, and we all are, I guess, because when we think about it, because we all continue to sin. We're all sinners. And so, yeah, I guess we are hypocrites. But we're under protection from the Jesus Christ who saved us from by grace. We're under protection by Jesus who loves us. And so we may be hypocrites, but we're forgiven hypocrites. And so anybody that tells you, I don't want to go to church because I don't need church, everybody's a hypocrite, I don't like anybody there, you know what? You better get over it, because Jesus commanded us to go to church. And that's an absolute truth. And if you are on the opposite side of that argument, you're wrong. That's as plain as day. That's as simple as I can make it. The second thing, and we've talked about this before, because we all need the fellowship and encouragement of other Christians. Like I said, we weren't meant to be hermits. We weren't meant to live alone. We all need the encouragement of other Christians. And here's the funny thing. If you are a Christian, if you call yourself a Christian, and you don't like other Christians, I got news for you. You're going to be around them in heaven. If you get to heaven, there's going to be a lot of Christians there. And we're all going to be in the same place. And you'll never be alone. You can't go to Jesus and say, Jesus, can I put a fence around my mansion because I don't want anybody else to visit? No, it doesn't work that way. When you get to heaven, you're going to be around other Christians. You better get used to it here on earth because you're going to be living it for eternity in heaven. I have a friend at work who goes to Methodist Church in Wetumpka, and we kid each other all the time about she's a Methodist, I'm a Baptist, and I give her grief for being a Methodist and all the funny things they believe, and she gives me grief for being a Baptist, and we joke with one another. But we like to talk about how it's funny how denominations get mad at one another. The Episcopals don't like the Presbyterians. Presbyterians don't like the Lutherans. Lutherans don't like the Baptists. So on and so forth. We all have these things against denominations. I don't like them Church of Christ people. I don't like them at all. I don't like them Methodist people. They're crazy. They do weird things. Well, I got a news for you. We always talk about this. I got news for you. When we get to heaven, there's not going to be any Methodists or Baptists or Lutherans or Episcopalians or Presbyterians or Catholics or Church of Christ. It's all going to be Christians. We're all going to be children of God. We're all going to be there. So you may not like the Methodists, but you're going to get to heaven and you're going to be around Methodists. You may not like Baptists, but you're going to get to heaven and you're going to be around Baptists. One day, you'll spend all eternity with these people you say you don't like. So you better get used to liking them here on earth. And that's why we need church, because we need to be around Christians. We need to be encouraged by Christians. We need to learn from other Christians. And the last reason it is important to go to church, because if you don't like to attend church, then you might need to question whether or not you're genuinely saved. You might need to question whether or not you actually receive salvation. Because here's the thing, when you receive salvation, you become more like Christ. And Jesus loves all Christians. He loves us all. He loves to be around us. Jesus loves to fellowship with us. He wants nothing more than to be with us. And he wants to be with us on a daily basis. So if you're over here in your own corner saying, I don't like being around other Christians because they're stuffy or they do things different or I don't like the way they do this or that, then maybe you need to question whether you're saved at all, because if you're not liking other Christians, you're not following the word of Jesus. You're not living the word of Jesus, because I promise you, Jesus loves us. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And if you don't like Christians, then you might be on the wrong side of Jesus and you might need to question, might need to get right with Jesus, because he commanded us to go to church. He commanded us to encourage one another because he loves us and he wants to be with us. And that's what we're supposed to be like. I'll leave you with this story. I close with this. When you say the word church, many people think of an institution or a building. And when you think of it that way, it's easy to come up with reasons not to go to church. But a church, let me read this to you. A church is a body of believers who are joined together by their faith in Jesus and their desire to worship and obey their Savior. The church body is not perfect. Like I said before, we all make mistakes. We do things we shouldn't do because we're human and we're still living in a sinful world. And sometimes we fall to sin. So the church is not perfect. And that's the thing I think that bothers me the most. I don't want to go to church because Christians are so mean, or Christians are so stuffy, or Christians are so this or that. Well, Christians are not perfect. We don't get everything right all the time. We still commit sin. We still do things wrong. But you know what? We're saved. We're forgiven by grace. And as Christians, we come together for the purpose of glorifying God and to encourage our fellow Christians. So it's not about the church. It's not about the building. It's about us. About you and me, our fellow Christian believers all around the world. That's what it's about. That's what church is. But there is no other place you can go to find genuine Christ-filled love and encouragement. And this is what I love most. There's no better family than the one you find in your congregation. People that will love you, that will lift you up when you fall down, that will encourage you, that will love you no matter how many times you mess up, that will continue to feed you. I like that part. But there is no better family than the congregation that you go to on a daily basis. That's your new family. That's your Christ-filled family. I'll leave you with this story. A member of a certain church who previously had been attending services regularly stopped going. After a few weeks, the pastor decided to visit him. It was a chilly evening, and the pastor found the man at home alone before a blazing fire. The man welcomed the pastor in, and the pastor was led to a comfortable chair, and he sat down, and he stared into the fire without saying a word. The host waited as the pastor sat there without saying anything, staring into the fire. And then after a brief time of staring into the fire, the pastor stood up, he grabbed the tongs, reached into the fire, and picked up a single ember that was glowing with fire. And he took that ember and he placed it on the hearth. He put the tongs back and he sat down and he still didn't say a word. The pastor and the man continued to watch as the blazing ember cooled, darkened, and finally went out. They still didn't say a word. After a while, the pastor looked at his watch and realized that it was time to go. He stood up, he took the tongs, and he put that ember back in the fire, where it immediately caught flame again and started to glow as it was filled by the other flame from the other embers. As the pastor went to leave, the man hugged his neck and said, "Thank you for coming to visit me. Thank you for that fiery sermon. I will be with you come Sunday." That's the picture of the Christian believer. When we're on our own, we're cold, we're dead, we're darkened, we have no flame. But when we join with other members, when we join with other believers in a thriving, growing congregation of Christ, we catch flame. And we can set the world on fire through the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this word that you have brought to us today. Thank you for the encouragement that you have given to us. And we thank you for your love for us, that you continue to forgive us despite our many failures, despite the many times that we come short of your glory. And Lord, I thank you for your church that you have brought us to, that you have allowed us to be a part of. We are gathered as a body, Father, of believers. We are not a building. We are not an institution, but we are believers in Christ who are gathered together for a purpose that you have called us to serve. And I pray that you would help us to fulfill that purpose as we here at Highland Avenue Baptist Church here in Montgomery, Alabama, as we seek to move forward, as we seek the man who you have called to lead us from this point forward, as we seek to serve you here in Montgomery. Help us to not give up. Help us to not fall away. Help us to not stay home and be hermits and forsake meeting with others. Help us to continue to meet with our brothers and sisters so that we can grow, so that we can learn, so that we can thrive, so that we can be filled with your Holy Spirit and become a flame to light the city of Montgomery. Father, I thank you for those that are gathered here. I thank you for their commitment to you. And I pray that you would help us to continue to hold you as the head of the church and to seek to praise you and to serve you and to follow you in all that we do. And may we glorify you in every way so that they will say about the members of Highland Avenue Baptist Church, that is a Christ-filled church who is doing the work that Jesus has called them to do. Thank you for this word. Help us to live it in our lives. And thank you for all that you do for us, all the many blessings that you give to us that we do not deserve. We love you and we praise you, for it's your name that we pray. Amen. If you have a decision, if the Lord has spoken to you today, if you have a decision that you would like to share with the church, Brother Oliver is going to be down front for you to come and just share a word with. And we would like to rejoice with you and share with you in that word. Whether you've prayed about it and thought that it's time to join a congregation, to be an active member of a church, whether it's whether the Lord is speaking to you about receiving salvation, whatever it might be, if the Lord is speaking to you today, as we sing, you make that decision and you come down and share it with us. We're going to stand and we're going to sing, "Wherever He Leads, I'll Go."